from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
He's addressing the ball. He takes a swing. I don't see what happened. We're on the delay. Oh. Oh, boy.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Tell you what. If need be in a pinch, if you need a play-by-play man in a pinch.
Oh.
Sometimes what you leave unsaid says it all.
Yeah. And for a while, I've left a lot of unsaid about Billy and Hatko. But the more I think about that day, Evan, the fact that they were going to be that cruel, and I would have been in pain had I connected on that first initial tee shot, it bothers me. Billy, talk to me. And the golfing gods made me miss it, come right back, and I was proud of my second hit, which I could make contact. But the guy came up to me and said, dude, had you hit that? Your hand, it was going to be like baseball players when they hit the ball and it's just like, ow! And you drop the bat.
That's not my understanding.
Yeah, that's how.
Yeah, my understanding.
My guy told me the ears would have been ringing your hands. How cruel.
My understanding is it's a very common practical joke that you play on novice golfers, and you can find those novelty balls that explode. There you go, another drop. At a variety, at any Dick's Sporting Goods or Golf Galaxy. I don't think you would have gotten hurt. I got to believe the company that makes it probably makes it so that something can't go hit somebody in the eye.
Yeah.
But you asked a question, and it's funny because.
Just random, but I thought about it.
I love golf, but I'm relatively new to the sport. So you said, so Steiny, who's the best golfer from the Bay? Like, who's the most famous golfer from the Bay?
That's the Greater Bay Area, everywhere.
Yeah. So I first said him. Tiger. I said, but he's not from, I said he grew up in L.A. and he went to Stanford. And then I remembered, because I used to like this guy a little bit as a kid, Johnny Miller.
Okay.
Johnny
Miller. Who I'm familiar
Miller.
With, but not to the degree to where he would hold that title to me.
Johnny Miller's a big boy back with in the Nicholas
from San
era.
Francisco.
Correct.
All right.
But then we have, and I'm sure there's more, and 888-957-9570 is the number. But the other one, like on the tour now, there's Colin Morikawa.
Okay, all right, from...
Now, he went to Cal. Like, he played golf at Cal. I don't know where he's from, but Max Homa.
Okay.
I know he's from L.A., but he went to Cal, and now he's...
And
one
I'll give
of the
you that, but I'm
players,
looking like so. Born in San Leandro or Oakland or San Francisco.
I think it's
got to
be Johnny Miller, but I'm sure there are others.
Walnut Creek,
I'm
Union
sure.
City. Anyway, Hayward.
I don't know about the Yoon.
East Palo Alto, everywhere. San Ramon. Pleasanton.
I mean, I don't know if I
Roseville,
should.
Roseville.
I don't know if I should. Just, that's not the Bay anymore.
But it's still, that our, would, it's like still it, our hood.
Well, but if someone were.
Roseville's in, pushing it, too.
First of all, if you're from Roseville, you're not from the Bay.
Can I say this about
you're,
this?
You're then Sacramento's greatest athlete if you're in Roseville.
Tell
and
the boss
I know who it is. Summer Sanders on the phone.
Oh, wow.
Not even close. You don't know who Summer Sanders is? Do your Olympic research. Do your Olympic research and get back to me.
That was the face version of the buzzer. Like he didn't say count the bucket on that one.
Dude, she's one of the greatest swimmers of all time.
I got Ledecky. You see what she did this weekend?
Woo-hoo. Oh, God. She's like a minnow to Summer Sanders.
Dude,
it's about to be a barracuda in about 2 months.
I give you know what? Ledecky's okay. She's a little bit okay. She's all right. But Summer Sanders was... I think Summer Sanders probably won four
man,
goals.
Big time.
I know Larry Sanders.
Man.
You mean Larry... You mean Shandling. Gary Shandling.
He was one of the best ever, too.
He's pretty
funny.
I just
pictured him laughing right now.
He was pretty funny.
Oh, boy.
All right, I'll go to Bobby in Los Altos.
Bobby is
What's
back.
Up, Bobby? How you doing, man?
Hey, thank you for taking the call. Sure. Hey, I want to talk about the I don't think Rory choked. I feel very strongly that Bryson won versus Rory choked. But before I get into that, I would like to just follow up on the whole Joey Chestnut conversation you guys had last week.
All right.
After I got off, I think Giddens was your host. So sorry, Goo. I think
yeah,
you were,
it was all good. I was hurt a little bit, Bobby. Yeah.
Yeah, but let me just say this. I feel like you guys had some follow-up conversation on that during the crossover, and you guys really are not giving Kobayashi his due. I really feel that Kobayashi opened the world's eyes to what is possible with competitive hot dog eating. And yes, Joey Jaws Chestnut took it to the next level, but he's the one that made that contest. So I think you boys better put some respect on his name because Joey Chestnut is standing on Kobayashi's shoulders. So please give a little more respect to Kobayashi.
Well, Bobby,
that being said,
no, I'm going to let you finish because I need to jump in here right now and just apologize immediately if I did in fact do that. I
wasn't.
I mean,
here.
What are the what? Well, it was Friday, I think, so you might have. But anyway, no, if that were me, and I offended, if anyone was offended, I apologize. So, Bobby, thanks for calling me on that. Oh.
Yeah. Evan Random.
You said thanks for calling. That's generally when you're done with them.
Yeah. Bobby, call back.
I'm team Evan on that.
Did you not hear me say... Bobby, let me jump in and apologize, and I'll let you finish.
You want me back, Snyder.
All right, if I can peel back the curtain a little bit, this is a subjective part of the show. Because often what you guys will do is ask a question immediately, or you'll just start talking. And even sometimes you'll ask a question, and then you'll start rambling and forget that you had the caller on. And then say, thanks for calling.
That's goo. That's not me.
You're culpable, too.
Hey, we had some good times together now, Evan and I, while you're gone.
All that is true, and your job is not one that you must improvise at times on the job. Nevertheless, it needs to be understood that at least at today, what happened to Bobby was because of you.
He's back.
You made the call.
Oh, he's back. There we go.
On Bobby. I did not.
Bobby's back.
Because he wanted to get something. He wanted to talk about DeChambeau and
yeah.
You got him back, Sonny.
No, we don't yet.
Yes, he said it.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Bobby, what's up?
Yeah. Hey, Giddens, man. You're so quick with the trigger. So thank you, Mr. Steinmetz. So I would like to say, first of all, I have not watched golf in probably 20-plus years. I don't really like the game. But from what I read, Bryson DeChambeau got up and down, had a sandy from 55 yards out onto a Sunday green at the U.S. Open. How can one say that Rory McIlroy choked versus Bryson DeChambeau making one of the greatest up and downs probably in U.S. Open history to secure the victory. How can we say this is about Rory McIlroy versus just the brilliance of Dame Dollar, like performance over Paul George hitting that three in the playoffs?
Bobby, I did not say choke and never would. I just, I'm defending it less today than I ever have. But no, there's stuff about golf. I mean, some people consider getting a little tight choking. I don't.
But the energy around
go
the
story. Bobby.
I don't want to let him go again.
Oh, I love it.
No, go ahead, let him finish up with a final thought.
I got no more final thoughts. All right. I love you guys.
All right. Take it easy,
baby. Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate
it.
I love you too, Bobby.
They're calling you Quick Draw Giddings. But the energy, to your basketball analogy, Steiny, to me, because I turned it on, and Evan had tweeted, Rory's incredible, and he was in the zone. I thought he was up eight. I thought Rory went into the fourth and blew the lead. No, he was down 9 or 11, came back, and had a little, it was there. But
I mean, it's
what he's taken in the, and saw on social media to me is he blew a 12.4 quarter lead.
Well, no, I think if you could, no, that's not.
No, it's not.
I think you can make a very apropos basketball analogy to what happened with Rory and DeChambeau. And by the way, I'd love to kind of have this discussion today at 888-957-9570. You guys know I hate the word choke, and I hate choker, and that's why I sometimes say he's a choke artist, but I hate it, especially when we're talking about somebody who, like Rory McIlroy, who's won 4 majors, so he's been at the pinnacle, just like Steph Curry has, and sometimes Steph Curry misses a foul shot, and it's like sometimes you just miss. Having said all that, I mean, Rory missed 2 putts on the last 3 holes that I think you can say it's like a foul shot for an 85%er at that level, and he missed 2 of them. Okay, that all happened. So people are going to say, but in terms of basketball, I think he was down 3 entering the day. 3 right. strokes. That's all that matters. All right. It doesn't matter like how high the score. So he's down 3. To me, that's the equivalent of starting off a basketball game in the NBA down 12.
Well, you got time. Yeah.
You got time. No. But you're down 12. Maybe 13. Yeah. And 888-957-9570 if you think this is off. I'm not saying I know it all. Then about halfway through the fourth, Rory got hot, and he came back from a 12-point deficit, and he took the lead at the six-minute mark about, and then with 3 minutes left, he was up 6.
Yeah, I'm liking this game.
He got up 6, and then he couldn't close it. If he would have met a couple, if that team... The team was up 6, then the other team comes back and beats him.
And there was a hack of Rory, and he missed the free throw.
No, it would be more that you look back and you say, man, if Steiny makes that little 4-footer on the baseline, we're not talking about this. If Goo didn't lose that possession, if Evan's in and out with a minute 15 and we win that game. Yeah. But no, it lipped out.
Like you hit a 30-footer at the end of the shot clock, and then you come and you miss like a pull-up J from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Like you hit the tough one, and then you kind of blow the bunny.
Bucket.
Yeah. I mean, did he blow it?
I think his reaction was to him leaving and burning some rubber. I think he knows, to him, he has high standards.
Oh, there's absolutely.
Like, that was effing mine.
No doubt. I mean, I don't think anybody.
Right.
To Bobby's point, though, DeChambeau didn't play on a fairway, it felt like, for half of the round.
And
he was incredible. Like his second shot was impeccable.
Half of the round.
So he did kind of earn it, but I think just the lasting image of Rory missing a 3-footer to at least force a playoff was the tough part.
Mm. I mean, the other thing is, golf is it's different. For example, sometimes... Like, 2 guys can hit virtually the same shot, and 1 guy will get totally screwed, and the other guy will get fortunate And it's the difference in two strokes.
Now, how can it be the same shot then if it could be that drastic?
Because, okay, I'm on the tee yesterday, and I hit a ball right up the left side of the fairway. It's not too far left, so it's going to go into the trees, but it ain't in the fairway. And what happens? It hits the cart path, goes boom, big bounce, hits the cart path again, big bounce around the corner. And when I get up there, it's laying on grass.
Oh, man.
Because, and it gone further than a normal drive because it hit the cart path. So
there was some luck involved.
So, but if I hit that shot 1 foot further left, it's in the hazard.
Wow.
It's in the hazard, and that's going to cost you two strokes. So there's an element of golf, and that's the one thing about Bryson. Like, did he make a clutch, you know, clutch? Yes. But he wasn't driving it in the fairway at all yesterday.
Yeah.
And his ball seemed to go into really tricky areas, but he could always play it out. If one or two of his missed drives would have ended up behind a little plant instead of beside a little plant on sand, he's in big trouble. But hey, that's golf.
No doubt.
You don't want to be in trouble, don't go over there. Joe's in Oakland. Hey, Joe. How you doing? It does seem to me like, oh no, Joe. It does seem to me that like a lot of people watched the golf yesterday.
No, and that was, maybe it was good that the NBA wasn't on.
Right.
When we know the 2-3-2 had a lot to do with it, but that was the thing. And when I got Evan's text, I was like, I'm the only guy that said Happy Father's Day. We won't talk about that on the Vine. But, anyway, I'm like, man, where are my guys at? And then when Evan tweeted, I said, I should have knew. Everybody's right. Locked in. You were golfing, got done watching it. The world was watching it.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, too, is I'm looking at the names. It's Rory. It's DeChambeau. And when I watched yesterday, I didn't think of this today because, like, I'm going to watch golf no matter what. You don't watch golf all the time.
And Dibs is watching it during the week.
But what you're telling me is, you watch golf?
Yes, we did.
Evan, how much golf you watch in your daily?
Not a ton, but I like individual sports. I watch more tennis, but
okay. But did you watch the U.S. Open yesterday?
Yes, I watched the whole round.
Why?
Partially because it was on, and then once the main group came on, because there was actually a contest. Like Rory had a chance, and it looked like pretty early there might be an actual close finish.
Why'd you watch it?
Because I knew that it was neck and neck. And it was coming down to, it was Father's Day, so we needed something.
Okay, let me ask you this. Did you, when did you know, or did you know last week that the golf tournament they were going to play this weekend is one of the most important?
Yeah, Norm was watching, he watches, because all he has is his dojo.
Right.
And he was dialed in, so even if I had not been there or Father's Day, he would have been watching. So
But you might not have been.
Yeah, no doubt.
I got you. Yeah. No, I'm trying to figure out, like, who watched yesterday, because it sounds to me like a lot of people who are casual fans watched, and if that's the case, what you saw was incredible.
But like, I told you
it was
about,
almost perfect.
Real quick here, Easter is synonymous for my father and I to celebrate Easter watching the Masters.
Right.
We have no control over the end, but so many times we've seen Tiger is close. There's nothing. That was Easter yesterday.
Gotcha.
It was like, damn, and it's coming down to the, and then the world was watching. And that's when Twitter, and I know you're off, or social media was incredible, because now I'm watching not just with Pops and my family, 50 million people.
Well, see, here's the thing, and this is where Dibs is. You got to rely on Dibs. See, I don't even know, and maybe Kay knows. Yesterday was Father's Day.
Yeah.
Is every U.S. Open final round, does it always dovetail on a Father's Day? Is it always on a Father's Day, the final round of the U.S. Open? Is the final round of a certain tournament always on a certain day?
No, I would have some experience.
Yes, it always falls on Father's Day.
The U.S. Open.
Open Sunday always falls on Father's Day.
Okay.
Wow.
So that's a big part of it then. That's a big part of it. Why maybe a lot of people were just watching because they're younger and their dads were laying around.
But my memories are the Masters on Easter. And damn, he just tells me the U.S. Open goo has been. I'm just saying.
Find out about the Masters. I bet that sometimes falls on Easter.
And that's what I'm guessing.
For sure. I know it does at times. But I want to say, anyway, let's go to Cole in Pleasant Hill. Hey, Cole. How you doing?
Hey, I thought I had a doctor's appointment today. I guess I booked it a full month out, but such is life. giving me a chance to call you guys.
Cool.
It's golf stuff. It's so exciting to be talking about it. And one of the big things I think first off is we always talk. They talk about what's good for the game, right? And things that are good for the golf game. And I think what happened yesterday is actually, and kind of leading up to it, has been really good for golf. And Bryson's sportsmanship, if you go back a couple weeks, it's just he was kind of the villain a couple years ago, and then the LIV stuff happened, and now he just seems to be outgoing, really great guy, standing there signing autographs for everybody who wanted one. We haven't heard about an athlete doing that in a very, very long time. And the fact that he took the time 2 days in a row to handle that with the fans, like, that's pretty incredible. And, you know, the comparison to other sports, I think it's tough, right? I'd say if you want to compare it to, like, a free throw in basketball, a must-make, Rory's putt would kind of say, like, hey, you get this free throw, but the rim is tilted a little bit. You guys, you're going to tilt the rim just a smidge. And that's a tough putt, you know. I got a chance to play Pinehurst a day before they shut the course down before this tournament. And it's tough. They put a lot more sand into those greens over the weekend. It was into the sand traps over the weekend. The greens were super firm. Great to see. No lost
balls,
which you just love. And
yeah,
really, really high.
Yeah, thanks, Cole. Can't, you know, the boss is listening. Start talking about playing. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks, Cole. Cole's right.
Golf was appointment was for just a check.
It was a doctor's appointment,
yeah,
I thought.
It's probably a checkup.
I mean, listen, there's no doubt Pinehurst is a tough course. I mean, it's not Pine Valley, but I mean, it's tough little course.
Yeah. But Rory was +3 over the last four holes. That tells me it was money time. It's always money time, but towards the end, he didn't do his best work.
Correct. But what must also go in his large body of work is that he has come through in the clutch before. Sometimes you didn't. But you know what? And I always thank him because I haven't bought a sleeve of golf balls in 9 months.
Skinny Bob.
Skinny Bob in El Granada. Skinny Bob, how are you, my man?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Woke up today, another beautiful day in El Granada, thinking of going to get some balls at the course.
Sweet.
I want to comment on that game yesterday. No sports on, not much of a golf enthusiast, though I was a PGA honor caddy in my day as a youth at the Milwaukee Country Club.
Yeah. Milwaukee?
This guy, Rory. Yeah, Milwaukee Country Club. If you ever get a chance to play it, it's probably the best course in Wisconsin. And
better than Whistling Straits?
Well, I haven't been to Whistling Straits, so hard to say, but it sure impressed me. I hitchhiked from a poor neighborhood into the richest neighborhood in Wisconsin. And
so
boy,
you're from Milwaukee originally?
Yeah. Northside.
Okay, how do we not know that?
I don't know, yeah.
Hey, Skinny, I don't want to steal your thunder. You're going to get all the time you need. Milwaukee's one of my favorite cities, and I'm dead serious. Anybody who knows me knows that. All right, let's but talk about Rory real quick.
Real quick, I got to say Rory choked. Let me tell you my scenario on that. Caddy. Basically, when Chambeau missed his putt early, and Rory in the last three holes is seeing what's going on, and they see each other, Chambeau opened the door for Rory. He could have been way up, ended that game on that 2.5-footer. Once that thing didn't drop and lift off, that was it. That hole got small. In the next three holes, Chambeau saw his opening. And I'll tell you, 2 foot, 4 foot, when the pressure's on, you know how that game is. And given any given day, a golfer, just like bowling, when you have it, you have it. When you don't, you're in doubt.
Yep. Thank you, Skinny Bob. Appreciate it.
Hit him straight. Go.
He doesn't play.
No, he said he was going to the range.
Right. So, and I didn't even get it. He's going to the range so his dog, a husky, can retrieve golf balls, and then he can send them to us. Gotcha. That's why we love Skinny Bob. He doesn't play anymore. 888-957-9570 is the number. How many casual fans were into that yesterday? I got to get it more into it on the other side. Don't forget, download that Odyssey app and the QR code and everything on 95.7 The Game. And you can find those novelty balls that explode.
Oh.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
That's pull my finger humor.
Yeah,
we don't
more.
We don't like that.
He deserved it.
But it was funny. Yeah.
Gu and I agree. Hey, we're talking about the U.S. Open from yesterday. I do think it's interesting how we talk about it. I've told the story a million times about Don Nelson.
Nelly.
He thought there was a difference between losing and getting beat. If a reporter said, "Did you lose tonight?" and he thought they got beat, he'd say, "We didn't lose. We got beat."
Damn.
If he thought they let one slip away, he'd say, "Yeah, we lost. We lost tonight. We lost tonight." So I am interested in how people are viewing the Rory DeChambeau thing. But let me throw one more factoid
in. Take your time, baby.
Because see, this is what I enjoy. There's three levels of golf here. Dibley is an expert.
Okay, gotcha.
He has loved golf his entire life. He knows the history. He knows infinitely more than me.
Cliff Clavin.
I'm kind of in the middle. Last 10, 15 years, I've really gotten you into it. You're just learning.
Yeah.
So, yes, Rory McIlroy missed two pretty close. Yes, he missed two really close putts. But you know what we forgot, Evan, is on hole number 15. So the 15, 16, 17, there's only four
money
holes
time,
left.
Yeah.
Four holes left. DeChambeau had a little three-footer. DeChambeau had a three-footer. He's up one. He had an automatic. He missed it.
Yeah.
He missed it. He missed a chip. Like, he missed a pretty easy putt.
Because he won,
on
we're
15.
Talking like we just right. Yeah, omitted.
And
not on purpose, though.
And, like, this is the thing about choking. Like, it's about, like, you can call what you want. I'm not getting into it today, but like, it's about your nerves. It's about your nerves.
There's
over
no
the ball
doubt.
And your heart rate and all that kind of stuff. And all I'm saying is the reason DeChambeau didn't make the putt at 15, same reason Rory didn't make the putt at 18. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's,
well, there's a little more pressure on the one that Rory's taken as opposed to DeChambeau.
See, and I think that pressure,
I agree
that,
with that.
I think the pressure's indistinguishable. That's kind of what I'm saying. At that, when you're at that point.
But even though at 15, you know, you got more holes to make it up if you don't do right. But when Rory took his, time was, you got less time to fix it if you don't do it right.
But what I'm getting at too is everybody's going to say Rory missed two of the last two putts in the last three holes. And I'm just saying on the fourth to last hole, DeChambeau did it.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, we're going to talk about Rory McIlroy the way we're going to talk about Rory McIlroy.
Before you go to golf, what I don't like about golf or individual sports is I'm shocked. I didn't know Rory had four, but
I
that doesn't
right.
carry the weight to where when I say, well, whose tour is it now? Who is the Tiger Woods? I'm not hearing Rory.
Well, it's because
you said he hadn't won in a while.
Right.
But
well, he's still one of the best players. See, the difference between golf and a game is, in order to win a tournament in golf, you got to be better than 150 guys.
And he was four times, Rory.
Right. And yesterday, he almost was. Like,
so who would you, if I asked you guys, whose league is it
now?
Well,
Scheffler. Scheffler.
Right.
But now, Scheffler didn't make the cut, right?
Well, he's a changed man since he went to prison.
Wow, that would give you three. How many does he have, Scheffler?
I think he's got about four now. Hold on, let me get this.
And his are new. Yeah. As Rory, it's been a little while. And that's interesting. Like, I hadn't heard. I mean, Rory was supposed to be the Tiger guy. He was going to take Tiger out. And then
Scheffler has two, but they're both at the Masters.
Okay, wow.
Right. And Scheffler's two have, I think, been. And that's
recent,
a big part of it. Let's go to Rich in Fremont.
Rich,
what's up, Rich? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I kind of believe. I don't believe that Rory choked. I don't. I kind of think that you have to look at the fact that in the beginning of the match, you know, DeChambeau had the lead pretty much most of the match. I did find out from your producer. He did tell me, I did not know this, that DeChambeau did fall behind. I did not know that. Okay,
yeah.
But I still think that Rory did not choke. I believe he did lose the match. Although I know that Rory believes he choked, and the reason why is because when it was time to go to the media table, he didn't even show up. So
yeah.
That tells you right there. He believes that he choked. And by the way, shout out Dan Dibley. I saw him at Fremont Bank this weekend. I live less than two blocks away from that new bank, and it was nice to be able to meet him in person and talk to him. That was pretty cool.
Wow, that's
cool,
Rich. Yeah.
Appreciate it. How about this? Speaking of Dibs. Yeah, I watched the U.S. Open with Dibs. See, that's why I was so interested in, and the number here is 888-957-9570. We very seldom talk golf, but that thing was compelling yesterday. And I'm wondering, Guru watched it because it's always the fourth round on Father's Day, and he does it with Norm.
Yeah,
but yesterday we were at my buddy Dana's, and we had about seven guys there.
Wow.
Seven or eight watching it.
So you got there what time after you golfed?
I got there. Well, I got to his place about two.
Yeah, I was just.
So
wow.
I had the last nine holes, which was perfect.
Man.
What a Father's Day. A lot of guys.
So you already know the answer to the Dibs question I'm excited about on the crossover.
What?
Do they think Rory choked? You being with Dibs yesterday, do you?
I mean.
Like, you got to bring that home, or is Dibs going to be like, yeah.
I mean, what I'm focusing on today is because I know that I don't like the word choke.
Well, yeah, we
or choke
know.
Artist.
That's why
or somebody choked.
Yeah.
Is you can call it whatever you want. If you want to call it a choke, you can, but there's nothing official. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's not an official stat on choking.
I got you.
And so.
But we know what it is when we see it.
But if you're going to say. Well, if he didn't choke, Steiny, are you telling me that nervousness or tightness had nothing to do? Of course it did.
Well, he's got four. So now I'm like, you're not a choker. You might have tricked that off, but you beat those nerves on the biggest stage four different times. So you're a four-time champ.
Right.
Choker is when you're trying to get over the hump, like a Dak or a Dan Marino. I'm not calling him a choker. They never Barkley.
Right.
And it wasn't their fault, but. Their teams, for whatever reason, can never get over the hump.
So, in the in golf, like team sports, it's all about titles.
Yeah.
So the major champions. How many major champions a player has is their biggest stat.
Jack.
Right. Jack's got 18, and Tiger has 14. Or I'm sorry, 15.
Yeah.
So Tiger's not going to catch him. But among these kind of guys,
well, we don't know that yet.
You're like my buddy.
He didn't even make
you're like my yeah. Like the active, just Phil Mickelson.
Okay, lefty.
Yes, he has six
Damn.
Majors, but he's getting to be 50 years old. So,
but he's had his run though,
oh, yeah.
Steiny. That's
absolutely.
What, and even Rory, and it's still going. But
he's too old.
Like Phil's a big boy,
right? But
it's
like
his fate,
Curry, and like Joe Montana. There's a new group that usually comes in and anyway, Rory's got four, and I don't know how old he is now. Brooks Koepka has five. So, yeah.
Damn, Koepka's got five.
Yeah.
How'd he do yesterday?
Not well. He was average this tournament.
Wow.
I mean, that's the other thing.
Five.
It's different. Like, anyway. Hex in Berkeley. What's up, Hex? How you doing, man?
Heck of a name.
I'm good. Hey, look, I'm not going to call Rory a choker because he makes a lot of incredible shots under pressure. But there's no question, and I've done it. I've played in a ton of tournaments, and I've played in a lot of matches. And I can tell you, if you miss a putt that close, you've choked on that one shot. It's one shot at a time. So, and it doesn't matter if you only have three holes or eight holes to go. When you miss, and Sonny, you know, your analogy of, you know, at the end of the game and you're up by two and you need to make two or whatever, free throws are harder. This is a layup. Okay?
Wow.
And nobody's
he said layup.
Nobody's around you, and you run down the court and you miss it. Okay, that happens one in 500 times. This type of putt, I can tell you, Rory, when he was a kid, probably wasn't allowed to go home unless he made 100 in a row. I do that all the time. I practice. I cannot leave the green until I get 50 in a row. But I can tell you 2 weeks ago, I missed three of these and I choked. Okay. But, you know, that happens. I mean, it sucks, but I'm just telling you, Rory knows he choked on these. These are layups, and he missed two layups with nobody around him, and it sucks, but that's what happened.
And, you know, that's a great call, Hex. Yeah, I'm gonna take that thunder.
Thanks, Hex. And everything he said, I'm saying, yeah. The only issue I have with Hex is I don't call that choking. I call
what
that
about the layup as opposed to a free throw? Because I think a layup is easier. Obviously, we'll say a layup is easier than a free throw.
I think that was a little extreme, but I could be wrong. But listen, what I'm saying is when you're lining up over a putt and it's worth something, it's
three
Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy, to my way of thinking, we're both under a ton of pressure the last four holes on all their short putts.
Yeah.
All their short
ones.
But
we're talking pros, Donnie.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Both guys in the last four holes missed really short putts. I don't call it choking, but I will. Of course, it's nerves. Of course, it's pressure. Of course, it's you start thinking about the ramifications. Like, all that is what it is. But they've made enough of them, and they've missed enough over the course of 25 years. Again, if you want to call it choking, that's fine. Right. Call it choking, because I really don't want to get into it because I don't feel strongly about it. It's just like there's pressure.
And I'll say this.
Sometimes you make them, sometimes you don't. And he missed two that he's like, I'm not dismissing. Yeah, he's going to think about these two putts for the rest of his life. There's no doubt.
Okay, gotcha.
But well, I don't know if he's like, an athlete doesn't say, oh God, I choked. They say, I was tight on that last one. That's what I do when I get, when I get nervous, I pull it or I push it or that.
Was there anything to the statistic that also populated, which he had been 496 for 496?
Yeah, that's big.
On 3 feet or in.
Right. Again.
So the pressure, so the stage.
Honestly, he probably doesn't know how he missed those putts.
No doubt.
Like, if he's never missed that putt before, that's what might be the most frustrating part is you don't know how you missed it.
And, right. And that's why I believe his reaction was, normally he'll sit and face the music. He got in his car, not to be a jerk, because he was so just flabbergasted, Stani, of how he, you know, normally two chippies, he missed. And I love the Nelly thing, but I would just tell Nelly, we got beat or we lost. It still goes under the same column, but that's how you feel about the game. I like that, but him getting in the car driving off tells me if he were right here, he'd be like, fellas, I tricked that off. I don't even care what they're saying.
No doubt.
And if you want to say I choked, you can say it because I'm disgusted. Rather than I had my best stuff, it wasn't good enough, Stani beat me. I mean, Stani, Evan said what? The 196, however much, like, dude, those were less than 4 feet on the two
putts. No doubt. But I think the other thing is golf is a sport where when you fail, it's something like that.
Oh, man.
It just is. And,
wow.
And I guess here's like the only thing that gets me a little is if you're going to use the word, why are we the judge of if something mental was the reason another guy failed?
Because they're so, I believe, gifted physically. They're so the big man on campus in every facet of their life that the only thing that really is challenging to a pro is the competition component. So on the biggest stage with the world watching on Father's Day, a putt that we all know this dude can make 98 out of 100 times. Guys like me, gals like me, can watch and say, that guy choked, but they say it, I believe, from a vantage point of knowing it's hella hard to do, and they're so good, Stani, that the only time that they're ever under this pressure is on the biggest stage.
So, I'm going to find the game. But you remember when they used to have the Super Bowl, and there used to be a, there probably still is, great NBA game used to be on before the Super Bowl.
The Saturday night, you mean?
No, the Sunday.
Oh, you're talking about the Sunday. Oh, okay.
It would be the Celtics. Anyway, one game, it was the Celtics and the Sixers, so they're playing midseason, and the Celtics are up two with the ball, and Bird got fouled. Game's in January. Bird gets fouled. He's got two foul shots. Celtics up two. He missed them both. And Julius Erving banks in a three to win the game for the Sixers. Did Bird choke?
I think he would tell you he choked.
I bet you Bird would just say, I missed.
But he never, in that scenario, would miss those two.
I mean, I could argue that he wasn't nervous because all he's got to do is make two, and he's done that forever.
But when something happens that is abnormal,
why does it have to be a choke?
Because like, it was at the end of the game, the finality of it all.
Right, I get it, but I think there's some things that, like, that's the nature of sports. You win, you lose. A guy wins and plays terrific, and there's going to be a loser who could have done two or three things or whatever, and I don't think it's fair to categorize one as more I guess what I'm saying is, like, okay, so Michael Jordan never choked? Did Michael Jordan ever choke in his career, in his life?
Boy, 6-0 in the finals, six final MVPs.
So we're talking about series?
No, well, we're talking about the biggest stage for me.
Well, sometimes he choked and he's trying to make varsity in high school, right?
Yeah, dude, that one. But what about when he got swept by, or he didn't even qualify for the playoffs? There was nothing to choke. It was obvious. Anybody watching a Bull game, he doesn't have enough. He's spectacular.
But what if
so that like just so you're saying choke?
So you're saying Michael Jordan never missed a big free throw, and the Bulls lost a game because explained one in the regular season.
I gotta believe there's something.
Okay, so Jordan has choked,
but to your answer that and Evan hitting and I love the buzzer for the better. Is there anything that comes to your mind to where we could say, you know what? When he came back wearing 45 against Orlando Magic, bringing the ball up, Nick Anderson stole it from him, and he fell down. They called Magic Tragic Johnson after the 84 conference finals against the Rockets. They were calling him Tragic Johnson. Jordan don't have that on his just turnovers. He just was lemon booty, and Magic owned it. Went to the lab, the offseason, came back. I'm just
my point
Tragic
is,
Johnson, Sonny.
My point is I don't think there's any difference between Jordan, Magic, and Bird. And I would never say any of them ever did that. Ever. They missed some big shots, but...
Yeah. Choking in an 82-game series like that example you brought up to me means... That doesn't constitute choking in game seven in that scenario. That's a choke. I wouldn't say
who's ever
choked
in game seven?
Do you want to be honest?
Yeah.
LeBron James was going to never live that down against the Warriors until Kyrie Irving hit that shot, I believe. But that didn't happen.
I just ask a lot of questions. So, in other words,
it's got to be a big stage for me, Stein.
Right. And here, how about this? How about this? By your way of thinking, Shaquille O'Neal could never choke at the line. How do you tell the difference between Shaquille O'Neal feeling pressure when he misses and not feeling pressure when he misses?
Because nobody ever expects him to make it because he's never been efficient.
Exactly
but
right.
To his point, to his credit, even though he missed, they always seem to get over and it never cost him.
Okay, so Shaq has never dealt with pressure.
Oh no, he got swept by the Rockets.
But did he choke in that series?
I don't believe so. But if you want to say that, yeah. I wouldn't say
that's what I mean. I'm not saying I'm right,
Goon. Talk to me, Evan. No, I
everybody,
hear you. I appreciate it.
888-957-9570 is the number. If you want
Bill
to use the
Buckner
term.
Choked. That ball was hit right to him. If he feels that, Evan. That to me is a choke. Is that the reason they lost this series? No, but you know what I mean? Choking is one specific play to where Evan's wide open, he dropped it, we lose the Super Bowl. Then I would apply that to you.
Well, I do think it depends on who you're rooting for. Like, if you're rooting for Goliath, then you feel like he choked when he loses to David. But if you're David, then
I ain't mad at that at all.
It's over. I mean, like, I think LeBron James in the 2011 finals
That
choked.
Was Steiny.
Like, they should have beat that. They should have beat the Mavericks.
Remember, he just didn't even look like himself.
He had like 9 points in the finals.
He wasn't
game.
Even shooting in the form. Now, just so real quick, wait a minute. Villanova, Houston, when they beat Thurl Bailey.
What about it?
Valvada. That, yeah. Who did they beat when
Houston?
That
won? No.
But
I don't believe in the word, so I'm going to tend
okay,
to like. I don't think
that was an upset.
I don't think Freddie Brown choked when he threw the
ball. No,
I thought he lost his mind.
Yeah, that. But that.
And I don't know why Worthy was trailing.
Yeah, but that was a choke. And he probably would tell you.
Well, I don't know that.
Yeah,
I don't know that. He might tell you that. When is the last time that you scored a basket?
This
the other
incredible.
Team walked the ball up the court, and there was a defender behind the play.
Who like, got a gift,
Worthy,
though?
Why was Worthy in the backcourt? But I'm just saying.
I hear you. Rory went home mad because he knows he's better than that. That's all. I think if he would have did the Don Nelson and said, you know what, DeChambeau was better than me, would have talked. I almost appreciate, I didn't want to hear from him, Steiny. He was pissed off, and he'll probably be like, you could say I choked. I did.
I guess let me just make it clear.
Like, he has reason to believe that he was the better player and lost.
Yeah, right.
What is that?
Well, it's just something other than the word choke. Like, I just have a problem. Like, I'm I'll do it this way. Like, I don't think Steph Curry choked when he threw the behind the back pass out of bounds in game 7 of the NBA Finals.
That was just one of a few plays.
But in everybody else's, that would be what more than that's a choke.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a choke, right? If
that's a turnover to me.
Like, wait, if so how's that scored. Different than Fred Brown?
Because it wasn't at the end of the,
and that he was a Golden State Warrior.
But there were some other
let's do it this way. Has Steph
moments.
Curry ever choked in a game?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. All right.
Like, I just wouldn't. I guess it's you can call it choking. I'll say. Yeah, he came up short, or he didn't come through. But the idea, like, I just would never say Steph Curry choked, because I don't know that the one he missed was necessarily because of some way he was feeling inside or outside.
The closest thing for Steph, I would believe, when he was hampered and he couldn't get past Kevin Love. But people looked at that like that was a healthy Steph Curry. But some people held that
the
against
word
him.
Choked for that, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about a moment, but blowing a 3-1 finals lead is I think about as close to choking.
Team
as you
wide,
can get.
Like, that's not one. That's just a team,
right? And
Boston did it to the Yanks.
See, so they came back down 3-0.
Thank you.
Right.
But 3-0 again in the NBA has never been done. That's what. Why? I want to know the difference.
Well, again,
never happened.
If you're going to ask Steiny, name the list of guys who you consider chokers, I would probably come up with, if you made me, I'd probably say 2 or 3 in my lifetime. That guy Vanderbilt, okay, But
did McCaffrey choke in the Super Bowl?
No, he fumbled.
Yeah, yeah. But let me tell you something. You're right, and I agree. But had that been in the fourth quarter and they were going down to win the game,
you choose to.
I believe you could have applied
fine.
It there. That's
you,
all.
You can apply it. That's my point. Is now we're getting to. I think we've gotten to the point where people apply it all the time, and it's like every game has a choker.
Like, I didn't want that 82 game season to have the choke late. Like, that wasn't worthy of it. Yeah, you messed up. You know what I mean? It's got to be playoff finals or something like that. Jackie Smith against the Pittsburgh Steelers for the Cowboys. Wide open against the Steelers in the 78-79 Super Bowl. He dropped it wide open, and they lost. That's he's synonymous with that.
Huh?
Ernest Biner going in at the goal line against the Denver Broncos to win the game, and he fumbles. That's a joke.
But not if he did in the third quarter.
Did Norwood's against Buffalo and the Giants in the Super Bowl when he missed that kick?
I don't use the word like you guys use the word. 888-957-9570 if you want to jump into the conversation. You know what? You want to use choke? Go ahead and use choke. But you know what? Y'all use it way too much. Not every game. In fact, very few do. A segment brought to you by... KTVU's Fox Local streaming app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.